As most of you would know, this morning we're beginning a series that we will work on throughout Lent entitled Letting Go, Trusting Jesus with My Deepest Desires. And we've kind of set this up over the last couple weeks, and we're going to look at six core desires, six core longings that all of us hold as humans created in the image of God. And in each of these six core longings or deep desires, we're going to talk about ways that we've tried to fulfill them with the things of the world instead of in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we're going to ask the question, Lord, what is it that you desire for me to let go this week so that I might receive from you all that I need in this area of my life? And so, you know, Lent, beginning with Ash Wednesday this past week, is a time that often we make sacrifices, we give things up. It's kind of become a tradition for everybody to start their diet during the Lenten season. As the summer hours in, I'm going to give up chocolate, I'm going to give up pop, I'm going to give up sweets, you know, whatever that may be. And this can be a good thing, and these things can cause us to point our attention to the Lord, which is the purpose of fasting, to remind ourselves that our reliance needs to be on the Lord and the Lord alone. But my invitation to each of us, and to myself, really, this Lenten season, is that we will consider some deeper things to give up to the Lord. That each week we will consider some of the deeper desires of our heart and make sacrifices and ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to give up this week of Lent so that I can turn more fully to you in my faith journey? Now, I just want to say one other quick thing before we dive into today's desire. And that's, of these six desires, all of us will see how these have played out in our lives at least a little bit. In other words, all of us will be able to relate a little bit to all of these desires. The other thing I would say is that some of us might relate a lot to all of these desires. In other words, the way that we've reached for the world often parallels with the way that these desires weren't met in us by our family of origin and the people around us in our early years of life. And so, depending on our faith journey and our family journeys, some of these things will hit some of us hard. For some of us, all of these things will hit us hard. But for most of us, there will be a couple of these that are like, ooh, that's significant for me. And so today may or may not be one that kind of grabs you at the heart. But just know that some of them likely will. And for some of us, all of them will. And so we're going to trust Jesus and dive deep. Today we're going to be looking at the first one of these, our deepest desire to belong. This core longing of belonging. Each of us has this desire within us to belong, to be a part of a group, a part of something. And as I was thinking about my life, there were just a few examples that came to mind that may or may not help you see this. One of them is, as I transition, and a lot of these are transition times. God seems to have worked in my life a lot in transitions, and I believe that's probably true of all of us, because we're a little bit uncomfortable in transition. And one of those was moving from 8th grade to 9th grade and as a football player in the fall, starting to go to summer workouts to prepare for high school football. And I just remember thinking, do I belong here? Do I belong with all of these people? Because in 7th grade, you're there with like your class and one group older than you that you've pretty much come up. But as a freshman, and especially at a small school, like you're playing with the seniors every day, and in most cases you are their practice dummies. And so I just remember those first summer workouts thinking, all right, well, do I belong here? And what can I do to prove that I belong here? I wish I could have found a picture. I looked, but I didn't look too hard because I kind of didn't want to. But when I made a college visit to Geneva College, Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, I was going there, and in my mind, I wanted to play college football. And so I was there on a recruiting visit, and this is about how, anyway, so I knew God was calling me to go to a Christian college. I had an interest in engineering, but I was probably going to go as a business major. So I just started sorting out Christian colleges with a football team, an engineering program, and a good business. I mean, that's kind of how I narrowed my focus. Beyond that, I started looking at colleges that looked like they were in mountains, or what I would now call hills and ridges. But coming from 2 hours southwest of here, where everything was flat, Pittsburgh area, western Pennsylvania, those are mountains. And I looked at some pictures of college. So in my mind, I'm going onto this college campus that's like in the mountains. I went to a small rural school. I was involved in 4-H and Farm Bureau. I'm just trying to make myself not seem so crazy. I was involved in 4-H and Farm Bureau Youth. We used to do line dancing and square dancing. I took animals to the fair, did all of that. And so over my high school years, I acquired a nice pair of cowboy boots. I acquired a really nice leather belt with a belt buckle with my initial on it. I had this really nice leather duster, like a full-length coat, like, you know, you see in the Western movies. And I had this really nice brown leather cowboy hat. I mean, I had senior pictures taken in these things. I know, all right? It's like the Marlboro Man, but me. And so, I'm on a football visit onto a college campus that in my mind is like in the mountains with all of these like people that were gonna look like this. So I showed up on campus that day dressed in the full attire because I wanted to belong. I wanted people to see that I belonged there. I had this desire, not knowing what it was gonna be like to be a freshman in college, to step on this, well, my picture in my mind was very far removed from reality. So I'm walking around that day, and literally, like, I would walk through a room, and people are like, but they know I'm on a football visit, all right? And so they're looking at me, and I'm with a couple coaches and some other guys, and they had to be thinking, there's no way they weren't thinking, who's this football recruit from Texas? He must really be something. And in my mind, I'm like, I am setting myself up for the greatest failure of my life. But that need and that desire to belong, I experienced it in a different way the first time I went to a third world country. And I stepped off the plane, and for the first time in my life, I was a minority. And things started getting triggered in me that had never been triggered. Do I belong here? I don't feel like I belong. I don't look like I belong. I don't speak like them. I don't look like them. I don't. And this, I mean, if you've ever gotten off a plane and stepped to an airport in a third world country, it's shocking. The smells, what you see. It's chaos because you got 300 locals trying to get you to pay them to carry their luggage. So people are trying to grab luggage out of your hand. I mean, it's you're in a different place. Do I belong here? When I went to seminary, I remember thinking, do I belong with these folks? I don't know if this is relating, but have you thought about that? That need to belong. We each have this deep desire to be a part of something, to be involved, to be included. And it's meant to be met by God. That desire is meant to be met by God and our relationship with others in God. In other words, we belong in the garden in perfect fellowship with God, but we don't live there. And so these relationships are broken. That's the problem. They're broken. And it's easy to feel like we're on the outside looking in. And as much as this core longing is a deficit in our life, in other words, if we grew up in a situation where we weren't made to feel like we belong, this is especially true of us, that we have these deep fears where this need has not been met of being lonely, of being isolated, of being an outcast. And for those of us that struggle with these things, to one degree or another, what's behind a lot of it is, as we are we going to be accepted? Am I going to be accepted? And this desire that's placed within us to draw us closer to God, often because of the brokenness, causes us to look outward to other people and other places to meet this need. And so, the world's solution is to provide us, and by world I mean our, really. This is our solution that we come up with, is we go out and we look and we find people that look like us, that act like us, that talk like us, people that we want to be like. And when we find that group that we want to be like, if we are not already like them, how quickly will we take on their look, their language, their culture, their identity? And I don't know if you can think about your life and think about examples where maybe you've done that. Have you ever changed the way you talked because of the people you're around? Have you ever, knowing that you're about to be with certain people, put on certain types of clothes? It's interesting to me how quickly, when I started playing golf, there were certain types of clothes I suddenly needed. Because when I step up to the tee, I want to feel like I belong here. Now, after I hit the ball, it's clear I don't. But for that brief moment, that walk from the car to the tee, it's like, I belong. When I was in college, a sophomore in college, I started doing youth ministry, volunteering at a Presbyterian church in Beaver, Pennsylvania. And the pastor in that church was given a membership to Seven Oaks, a really nice country club in western Pennsylvania, which, by the way, I think is a pretty good idea. But the point is that he wanted to take all of the college students coming to worship on Sunday out to lunch at the country club. And the full-time youth pastor that was there, who I was interning with, pulled me aside and said, look, like, there's some things that you need to wear to this lunch. Do you have a sport coat? Nope. Don't think I ever have had a sport coat. Don't think I know I don't own one, and I'm not sure I've worn one. He said, well, you know, there's a required dress code there, so we need to get you. So he went, he found me a sport coat to borrow so that I could wear a sport coat to lunch with the pastor at the country club so that I could be welcomed and feel as though I belong. These things that we do to try to fit in, to try to be accepted, to find that place to belong. We each find our little group. We each find our tribe where we feel comfortable, where we can begin to meet this deep desire to belong. And as we go deeper down this road, it creates greater distance and greater division from us and others. And so if you go to large cities, you see ethnic groups that live in certain areas or cultural districts. In smaller cities, you see this especially play out with the clubs around town, with the organizations. Which one do you want to belong to? Which one meets that need the best? We may find this in sports, in hobbies, in interests. We seek to find a group where we fit in, to which we can belong. This plays out in churches. We'd be naive to think that it doesn't. We church shop to find the church where we feel like we belong, where we most fit in and feel comfortable. In schools, it plays out in the cliques. And even ministries can take on a certain culture. I think in the church, and I don't want to go too far down this road, but for those of us that have been part of these conversations we've had about bounded sets, when we create these walls to define who's in and who's out, And we've had conversations about how our congregation has done that over the years. Whenever that happens, we're doing that to meet this need to belong. I want to feel like I belong, so we need to figure out all the list of things that are required to belong to this group. This is how I should look, talk, act, believe, think. And we want to define that so that people have a clear sense of who does and doesn't belong. Now, what's wrong with this? I mean, we're meeting this need. We're meeting this desire that we have. Well, two things quickly. Is that our allegiance to these groups, to these organizations, to these groups of folks that we are trying to meet this desire, can oftentimes become our priority over our allegiance to Christ as Lord. We begin turning to these groups, to these folks, more and more to meet this need that's within us instead of turning to Jesus. It's also not biblical, and that's why I read just those two short verses from Revelation 7, because God's giving us a picture of the way the kingdom will look one day. When there are folks that belong from every tribe, and every language, and every background. And so this is what that means. Think of someone from a different culture that looks completely opposite as we do. Think about the faces that we look at when we pick up a National Geographic. Think about the faces that we see on the news from other parts of the world that look different than we do. Those faces and those people will be represented in heaven, in the kingdom of God on earth. From every tribe, every nation, every language, every tongue. All of us, this great diversity of people on this earth, being made as one, coming together and united. This, the one that was just up there, is, that's all right, you don't have, is easy for us. This is the easy path for us. We can get this need met a little bit, and we can kind of live comfortably because we know what to expect with the folks around us. But the shocking message of Jesus is that he comes and he begins to reverse this understanding of who does and doesn't belong in relationship with him, in relationship with the Father, and is a part of the kingdom. He looks at children who were often outcast in that society and says, you need to become like these if you want to be a part of my kingdom. He takes a woman caught in adultery that's trying to be outcast by the community. And he says, oh, okay, well, let me tell you something. If you are without sin, then you can be the first one to throw the stone. He takes these tax collectors that were hated by society, and he calls one of them to be a disciple, and then says, call all your buddies, because I want to hang out and have dinner with you all tonight. And the world looked at him and said, oh, he's such a, why is he hanging out with these sinners? These people that don't belong. He walks among the lepers who were sent out to live amongst themselves, aside from society, and he heals, and he touches, and he dwells among them. He looks at a Roman centurion, someone who wouldn't have belonged, and he says, I've yet to see faith like this. He says to folks, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. And he says this to people who are entwined in this position of power and religion, where these things are coming together in this complicated way in the midst of that society, creating this culture of in and out. He looks at this Samaritan woman going to a well to draw water in the middle of the day where she hoped no one would see her or be in contact with her. And he engages her in conversation. He breaks the rules, and he begins to share with her why she belongs. Because with Jesus, the one thing and the only thing that matters in terms of belonging in the kingdom is that we come to Him. In faith in Him as Lord and Savior. And then His righteousness clothes us. And the one determining factor in terms of being citizens of the kingdom is that we are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is available to all. To all who God will call. The robes of righteousness come over us. Now, that creates a conflict within me and perhaps within us. Where we ask this question, am I worthy of that? I mean, I get it, the righteousness of Christ, but wow, that's like, whoo! And I'm like, whoa. Am I worthy of that? Will I be accepted? Will I be accepted by God? Will I be accepted by others? Will I be accepted by the church? If I really believe this, coming from where I'm at, trusting in Jesus, will I find a place to belong? John 17, a passage I love, and I've read the preached it many times. But this week, something caught my attention that hadn't really before. Verses 14, 15, and 16. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. So Jesus starts tapping this idea of belonging and says, I don't belong in the world, and my followers don't belong in the world. And then look what he says in verse 15. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. There's a spiritual warfare that's going to happen among our people, God. And it has to do with this issue of belonging, because they don't belong in the world, but that's where they find themselves. And so protect them. And as if to like, really add to the emphasis here, he says again in verse 16, they do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. So we have these two verses that declare, that state, that I and my followers do not belong to the world, and sandwiched in between them is this verse about protecting them from the evil one. Why? Because Jesus knows that Satan's going to go after us on this issue. Satan wants nothing more than for us to believe that we belong here, to find groups, to find peoples, to find tribes that we fit in together, that we feel comfortable with. Because when our allegiance is here, it's not with the Lord. It's not with Jesus. And so this battle engages each of us. Satan wants us to keep clinging to anyone and anything that's not Jesus, wants to keep us comfortable. But Jesus gives us an invitation, gives us an alternative. This painting, one that I've showed you before, is called The Dance of the Trinity. Jesus gives us this invitation to come into this dance with the triune God, to be a part of them, and says, this is where you belong. Listen again to verses 20, 21, 22, 23, and really the rest of the chapter. I won't read all of them. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me. That's us. On behalf of the disciples and all that would come to believe based on their word, that they may all be one. How are they to be one? Father, as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory you've given me, I've given them. Think about, We talked about the transfiguration, the glory that's within us, the glory of Christ. He speaks to that in this prayer. It's in them. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one. And there's an aspect of this that will speak to the world and say, based on their unity, based on their oneness, based on the sense of belonging that they find in the triune God and one another, that will speak and witness to Jesus Christ and His Lordship. In these verses, Jesus speaks of a God who, like the mother hen, is gathering the chicks. To a God who, like the shepherd, is going after the lost sheep and bringing them into the flock. To a God who, like a father, is just waiting for that son to come down the road so that he can run out and meet him and grab him with the grace and clothe him with the righteousness in the robe and say, "You are mine. This is where you belong. This is where you belong. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will adopt you as my children and bring you into my family and make you heirs of my inheritance. Because you are my children. You are children of God. Come, abide in me and I will abide in you, and we will have this oneness that's mysterious, this oneness that's incredible. Come join the dance of the Trinity, because in me you are worthy. In me you are accepted. You were created for this. This is where you belong. In me, as I am in you." Each week, both on Sunday mornings and then for those of you who choose to come back and join us on Wednesday nights, we're going to dive deeper into this issue this Wednesday. And you'll be given a challenge to release and receive. To release and receive. And so what I'm going to ask of you today and in the days of come is to begin to, in prayer, ask some questions of the Lord. Where am I seeking to meet my deepest desire to belong? Ask the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal those things. Where am I seeking to meet my deepest desire to belong? What am I turning to meet that need other than Jesus? Remember, the desire in and of itself is a good thing. Remember that quote from Augustine we talked about. Seek the thing you're seeking, but seek it somewhere else. Live into that desire to belong, but live into it as we seek to belong to Jesus. What will it look like to let go of these things I turn to release them to the Lord, and then receive all that the Lord has for me, bringing me into the oneness offered by the triune God? And then just a couple practical things to ask you to consider. How are we communicating this as a church in this community? I was convicted this week of a couple things in this regard. Like, I realized that I have some prejudices built into me from my upbringing that I'm not even aware of. And when I have those, we can look at people and with our looks and with our glances, communicate something to them that we never would intend to communicate. And oftentimes what we communicate is, "Oh, you don't belong here." And shame on us if we ever intentionally or unintentionally look upon any of God's creation and communicate in any way, "You don't belong here." And as a church, we need to be serious about that if we're going to be serious about participating in God's mission to the world. What is our attitude in others? Do we look at one another and see the wonder of God's created image? Do we look at one another and see someone as someone who belongs just as much as I do, in God's family, as someone who has the potential to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. What is our attitude towards ourselves, which is sometimes even harder, towards one another in this congregation, and towards the world? And so I leave all of those questions. I pray that you'll wrestle with them. Lord, what is it that you want me to let go of? What is it that you want to release? I want to be with open hands so that I can begin to receive from you, Lord, all that you want to give to me to meet this deepest desire to belong. And I just encourage you over the next few minutes to begin to ask those questions, to start the wrestling now, so that as God sends us from here today, we will have started this journey of letting go and trusting Jesus with that deepest desire to belong. Let's enter into a time of prayer.